Morning, please. James chapter 2 in your Bibles there. We're just going to read the first three verses tonight, and I'll try to cover a little bit more than that tonight, but we'll just read this for context's sake. We begin a new kind of phase here in our study of authentic Christian living. We came through chapter 1, which is all about trials, and we're going to go into chapter 2, which is about another problem that we as God's people face. And let's look, if we can, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, and in goodly apparel, and there come also in a poor man with vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, ye say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool." Let's go to verse 4. "Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" And I want to talk tonight, if I can, about this matter of politicking in church. Politicking in church. You know, you can't hardly turn on the radio without hearing politics, can you? But we don't need politicking in church. And I think we'll understand why, and my point here as we get through, and trust the Lord to give us wisdom in this. Shall we ask? Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would guide us, and would you, Lord, I pray, open your word to us. Lord, may we not be partial, I pray, in our actions, our attitude towards others, especially those who are, Lord, coming into our church. Lord, may that spirit not be carried about anywhere, but especially here in the church. Lord, I pray that you'd convict us where we're wrong, and Lord, teach us. This can be such a touchy topic in many cases because, Lord, it really hits most of us because we're human. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be humble. Help me, I pray, to be spirit-filled. May the truth come out in a spirit of love. And I pray that you'd guide us and help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. And I'm thankful for this passage of Scripture. Now, a couple things we need to realize first, and I'm going to try to be concise tonight. I don't want to be unduly eloquent, all right? I want to come to the point, and I want to make that point clearly, and I want you to be able to understand the Word of God. But a couple things to understand in verse number 1. The Bible says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." Now, this is talking about not having what we hold as the faith of God, as Jesus Christ has given it to us, and we do that while having respect of persons. Now, that word respect of persons there doesn't mean we don't respect anybody. It simply means that we're being partial in our treatment of those around us. And I think that's borne out in the context as we look at it. James is saying, listen, don't be judgmental and partial to those around you while proclaiming to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying in verse number 1. Two things I think we can say tonight that are the biggest takedowns of Christians in that are growing in the Lord. Two things that will take down Christians faster than anything else that we could talk about. And that is number 1, what we talked about in chapter number 1, and that is the trials of life. Did you know that really takes down a lot of Christians? And if you don't have the right spirit and the right attitude towards trials and understand that God wants you to learn something through them, then we're going to be really blindsided by these trials. And I'll tell you today, there are numerous illustrations, not only in the Bible, but also in real time, of people who've been sidelined because of trials and their misunderstanding of them. So number 1, that's a huge thing for Christians. But the number 2 takedown that I think we see more than anything else is what we're talking about in chapter 2. And that is this idea of politics in the church. Now, let me just be clear. Politics and partiality in the church is not something that we need to include. And may it not be said of our body of believers that we have partiality like James is talking about here when it comes to people that are gathered. Number 1, I want you to see that it was just simply understood the fact that there was going to be people coming into our church that may not look and act and be the same as everybody else. Isn't that wonderful? Say, wait a minute, Pastor, what did you just say? I wasn't paying attention. All right, here, let me say it again. James took for granted, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that there was going to be people coming into the church that maybe didn't know the Lord, maybe they had just newly trusted the Lord, maybe they're growing in their life, and they're not to the point where you are right now, or they come in and they look a certain way, whether it be very good or very bad. He gave both ends of the spectrum, And he took that for granted that there were going to be people coming in. That's refreshing to me. Because, you know, as a Christian in the 21st century, it is just understood that we bring people to church and people come to church, maybe that don't look and act like we do. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I think that's a great thing. And so, first of all, I want you to see that this is a normal thing for people to come into church. And there is this kind of idea that we would judge based on what they look like on the outside. Now, James is saying, listen, there's something very careful here, very, very wrong about this. And we need to be careful about this. And I want to be careful that we as a church understand our place in this passage. And so this kind of spirit of partiality turns us inward. Now, let me illustrate if I can for a minute, okay? I need a couple guys with me. Brother Dennis, would you come? Brother Jude? Maybe Brother Russell? No. Well, can you put a little one down for just a minute? Okay. Brother Andrew, come here for a minute. All right. And Victor, why don't you come here? We'll just make it a group up here tonight, okay? So let's stand in a circle, guys. All right? Facing each other. Just coming here to a circle. Now, this is Broadview Heights Baptist Church, okay? Yeah, that's good. So we're in a circle. And I know I'm the one talking here, but here's the thing. If we're turned in as a church, I'm looking at everybody around me, right? I'm looking at Brother Russell and Victor, and Andrew's looking at Brother Zerby, and Brother Zerby's looking at Andrew, and we're all looking at each other. And you know what? We can stand here for a long time and be cordial, but pretty soon we're going to start saying, yeah, I don't really like that, or I don't like this. And that kind of bugged me what he just did. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so as we get to be partial in our judgment of one another, then we turn inward and we look inward. This is unhealthy right here. As a church. Can everybody turn around and face out, okay? Same thing, just face out. Now, I'm going to keep facing this way because I want to talk to you. But now, here we are. The posture is much different, isn't it? Are we together as a church? Yes, we are. And are we going the same direction? Yes, we are. And do we have the same purpose? Yes, we are. But who are we looking at? We're looking outside, aren't we? And we're looking outside of the church and we're trying to meet the needs of those people around us. And we're not looking at one another and trying to be divisive in our attitude. Do you understand the illustration here tonight? Okay, you guys can have a seat. I want you to remember this illustration real quick because this is going to summarize everything when I'm done. Because here's the idea. James is saying, listen, when you have the attitude of partiality, then it's going to reflect in the health of the body believers around you. Now, he uses an illustration of a man who comes in and he's got good apparel on and a gold ring signifying wealth and maybe prestige. You could really put anything in there that's favorable, right? You could put in there influence. You could put in there fame. You could put in there wealth, favoritism. You could put in there whatever you want. That ring and that goodly apparel really symbolizes that, okay? So he comes in. And of course, you know what we're all going to do, right? What would you do if somebody like that walked in our church? Yeah, whoa, huh? Hey, who's that? He looks familiar. Isn't he a politician? Isn't he a doctor? Man, look at his car. Look at all that. Wow, man, this is something. Well, we better go say hi to him. You know, we better make sure he knows where everything is. I'm like that sometimes. I know what this is like. And then we have somebody that walks in or rides in on the bus, or whatever the case might be, and they're looking around, they don't know what's going on, and they're trying to find out what's going on and where everything is, and they're kind of lost, and they kind of get lost in the shuffle a little bit, and I know it's not our intention, but, you know, we just don't seem to notice that kind of a person as much as we would something else. Let me tell you tonight, I'm just simply exposing what we all think, and that is humanly speaking, we judge people on what they look like. But the Bible says, as a church, we cannot be, in a way, partial or judging in that way, because that becomes very unhealthy as we understand the role of our church. And, you know, this is something that happens everywhere. We understand it. How many of you, when you were younger, understand this illustration? And when the teams were being picked up, you were sometimes the last one to be picked. All right. That's me. I was often that way. I remember on the basketball team when I was in school. And, man, I loved playing basketball. It was great, but I could not play basketball to save my life. And, man, I was in seventh grade, or I don't even remember what grade it was. And I'm finally allowed to be on the basketball team in our little school, you know. And this was big stuff, you know. And so we got the basketball team, and we're doing a great job. And, man, I remember as I was younger, you know, we'd divide up on teams, and I'd always get the last team, all right, the last pick of the worst team. That was me, because I was scrawny, a little, I was uncoordinated, I really couldn't do anything as far as, you know, doing anything with the ball. And you know, guys who want to play basketball, they want somebody on their team that's going to do something, right? And when you get the ball, you know what to do with it, all that kind of stuff. I was not that guy. And so, you know, as it was, as we got older, well, people started leaving and coming in underneath me. Well, now I was getting a little bit, not necessarily better, but I was higher in the rank, wasn't I? And so guess what? I could be choosy. And no, I don't want you. I want him, you know. And I just turned into that kind of a person. Now, I'm telling you, that kind of a spirit, though it is understandable in human realm, is not healthy for a church. That's what James is telling us. And this kind of judging and partiality based on what we see is bringing in a carnal, the Bible calls it evil thoughts, okay? Bringing that into the church. And it's wrong. It's absolutely contrary, as I'm going to tell you at the end, contrary to what Jesus, his spirit was, and what his word teaches. And so it's interesting that we understand this tonight, and we maybe clarify this in our lives. Number one, I want you to see tonight the very position where we start is the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse number one, the Bible says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And I love how he just kind of slips that in there, right? As if he's saying, men, brethren, you carnal Christians, you, all right? He was being kind. He said, brethren, don't have this testimony of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, he's the Lord of glory. Do you see the fact that he's emphasizing the position of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, this really goes in with what we were talking about this morning, church, and that is, listen, when we are turned in and looking at ourselves and we're looking around at each other and we start to have this kind of mentality of inward looking, guess who we're not looking at? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we talked about this morning. Listen, if we're going to keep our eyes on the Lord, we've got to get our eyes off of each other, and we've got to get our eyes off of our needs and off of our things that come about, maybe that are judgmental in a sense, and we've got to get our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And James here is saying, church, listen, don't have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ in that precious body of belief that we hold as it's given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then be partial and nitpicky and judgmental about those things. And so he's emphasizing the position of the Lord Jesus Christ here. And tonight, can I just help us, church, to see that as high as the Lord is lifted up, the inverse reaction will be the less we are partial in our judgment one towards another. The higher that the Lord is lifted up and the more that we focus on him, the less things that are going to bother us and the less things that we are going to emphasize about someone else, either for the good or for the bad. Because God takes the focus away from those things and puts it firmly on himself. And so we find here that the context is this matter of the Lord Jesus. He's the Lord of glory. And when men compare and compete and politic the right word is posture, I guess. You know what it's like. And they kind of, you know, try to get in this place and I'm going to get in here. And listen, you know, this can happen anywhere. You know, this can happen in the nursery. I'm not talking about the kids. I'm talking about the workers. And, you know, this could happen, you know, this could happen in the ushering. And this could happen in the bus ministry and in the nursing home ministry, and it can happen in the music ministry, and it can happen in any kind of thing that goes on here at the church. Listen, this kind of posturing and political kind of moving and needing to be understood and comparing and competing and all those things, it can happen anywhere. And the sad part is that just simply it simply signifies the fact that we're not looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what James is telling us here. Don't have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. In other words, lifting someone up, putting out someone else down. That's not how we carry this faith that God's given to us. That's not how we're good stewards of that body of belief that God has given. And so the emphasis here is on this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is to have the preeminence in any area of any part of the church. And when I say preeminence, that is the respect, the... And again, I'm using that term respect, not in the way we use it today, okay? I'm using it in the term discriminate or to be partial, okay? No one is to have the preeminence in any area, in any ministry, in any aspect of the local church. Do you know not even the pastor is to have the preeminence? Not anybody used to have the preeminence. Not in any role. Not in any area. You say, well, who leads? Well, there's a leadership structure, but that's not preeminence. The preeminence is this idea of you know, a person can't be questioned, or they have to be there because of a certain status or because of a certain favor or whatever it might be. That is not part of God's economy in the local church. And so we understand from the book of James that we have this preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, Colossians 1 verse 18, that he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You know what all things means? Behind this pulpit, in that nursery, on that bus, out in the lawn, and when we have to shovel snow, and here in the orchestra, and in the nursing home, and in the office, and wherever it might be, in the kitchen here, in all things, he might have the preeminence. Why? Because man can't have the preeminence. You know what happens when man seeks the preeminence? It's what we find in 3 John chapter 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Boy, I tell you, when a man wants a preeminence in any area, when a woman wants a preeminence, when a child, whatever, it's not a helpful situation for a church. So all I'm saying tonight is, church, that we have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to respecting people in a sense of being partial to one and neglecting another. Everyone is included. Now, there are certain responsibilities, and I want to temper what I'm saying. There's certain responsibilities and places for people in a structure of an organization. All right, we have someone that's in charge of the nurseries. Praise the Lord. And all the ladies said, amen. Now, this pastor says amen. All right. And we have somebody that's in charge of the bus. And we have somebody that's in charge of all the different ministries that we're talking about here. Listen, though, none of those represent a preeminence, because the Lord is the head. He is the preeminent one. And so everything we do, everything we understand comes from him. So number one, the position of the Lord Jesus. Number two, I want you to see the politics of the body, though. And notice, if you would, verse number two, for if there come unto you your assembly a man with gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment. The word vile there means dirty, you know, ripped up, whatever, you know, kind of a despised type of thing. And you have respect or partial thinking to him that weareth the gay or the fancy expensive clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And say unto the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. The idea is, and we have to kind of get our mindset here. We don't have an Eastern mindset like the Jews had. But in the synagogue, there was a man who, they would all have seats. And, of course, the preeminent seats were in the front. Right, guys? Amen? That's right. So you guys are preeminent here. But not preeminent, I shouldn't say, but you're special. So here's this kind of the idea to get to the front. And all the fancy guys and people would sit up in the front. And the less in status you were, the farther in the back you were. No offense back there, guys, okay? But that's what the Jews said. And so what would happen is sometimes seats would run out. And so they would say, okay, well, you know, come in, you could sit right here. I've got my feet down here, but you could sit next to my footstool here. You know, and that's kind of what we do with our kids, right? We tell them, you know, get up for the adults and you can sit here on the floor, or go sit over there on the floor or something. And it's just that idea of honoring that other person. Well, the Lord said, listen, that may work at home or that may work in other places, but when it comes to the body of Christ and accepting everybody, that's not the way it happens. So notice the politicking here. First of all, the symptoms that we see. And we see a couple symptoms that are very, very troubling. Notice in verse number two, first of all, as I already read, it's the symptom of discrimination. That's a real hot button word today, isn't it? Discrimination. And you know, there's all kinds of suits and lawsuits and all kinds of things about discrimination. Let me tell you something. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no discrimination as far as who can be a part of his body. And I'm thankful tonight, as I mentioned during the Lord's table, everybody is welcome. Whosoever will may come. And I'm thankful tonight that included me, because, again, I have nothing to offer tonight to the Lord Jesus. He's given us everything. And so, first of all, we see the symptom of discrimination. Let me tell you, church, when we get a spirit of discrimination against someone or in favor of someone overt simply because of the fact of what they look like or what their testimony might be or whatever they might have going for them or not going for them, listen, it's the sign of a demise of a healthy church, because a healthy church doesn't discriminate based on what a person looks like or their background or their testimony. It is a church that is inclusive because God is inclusive. And when I mean inclusive, I mean they've trusted the Lord Jesus and they're growing. And that's the aim for all Christians. And it's not a matter of, well, we don't treat you like we treat everybody else because, you know, such and such or this and that or whatever your value system might be on that person. I'll tell you right now, God won't have anything to do with it. And the first symptom we see of a politicking church is this matter of discrimination. Number two, I want you to see in verse 13, a symptom of a politicking is a disdain for mercy. Notice in verse 13, for, and I could give you some background there, but for time's sake, look, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What does the prophet, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? So here's what I'm saying. A church that is partial and politicking in this way is a church that is going to have a disdain for mercy. In other words, when somebody comes in from the outside and they're not the same as what we look like and they don't do the same things or say the same words, we don't show them mercy. Maybe we're harder on a person because of that or whatever it might be. Listen tonight, that, my friend, is what we call this disdain for mercy. And the Bible says that there's not going to be mercy for a person who doesn't show mercy. And so the second symptom is the symptom of disdaining mercy. But notice number three, and that is found in the next verse, verse number 15. The Bible says, if a brother or sister be naked, that is, they don't have the bare necessities of life, the clothing that keeps them warm and covered. If he be naked and destitute of daily food, not just not the stuff he doesn't like or the stuff he likes, but he doesn't have any food. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what did it profit? Number three, I think we see the third symptom of this kind of politicking church, and that is a disregard for needs of people. A disregard for the needs of people. And boy, I tell you that, nothing goes against God's plan and His purpose and His example more than disregarding the needs of people. God never left one person that He met in the Scriptures without meeting their most basic physical need. He also met their spiritual need, praise the Lord, but he met their basic physical need if they had one. If it was blindness, he healed them. If it was lameness, they could walk. If it was a disease, it was healed. And all of those things, God did. Why? Because he was impartial. He didn't judge between what somebody could or couldn't do or where they came from or what they looked like. He absolutely gave them what they need. And that's the symptoms I see of this politicking church. But notice, secondly, notice the players here, who it was that was politicking or discriminating here. And notice, go back to verse number 2 for a minute. I think this is interesting. Did you guys pick this up? I probably didn't give you a chance, did I? Notice in verse number 2. For if there come unto you an assembly, into your assembly, a man with a, what is it? A gold ring. Now, I got to tell you something right now. I miss so many details when it comes to people. It's not even funny, all right? My wife, on the other hand, she can pick something up like that. And it's a gift, all right? It really is. But notice here, you know, a person can walk in and she'd say, you know, well, he or she's not married. Well, how do you know? I'm not wearing a ring. How did you see that? You know, you got to look close. And that's kind of the idea here that the Bible's talking about. That is, these people were so consumed with material possessions and material things that they were looking at minuscule things that really didn't mean anything, like a gold ring, right? And so they would come in and, did you see that guy's gold ring? Well, I didn't see the gold ring, you know. You got to look close. Here's the point. The point is that part of the people who are the problem are people that are looking at little things and picking up little things, right? Now, I don't mean this in the sense, I kind of brought my wife into that illustration and it didn't reflect well on her. I just realized that. I'm sorry. She's not judgmental. She's very observant. All right. But the idea there of bringing that into the spiritual life is not good. And anyway, I'm digging myself deeper and deeper. Here's the point. The man who was looking at the nitpicky things represents to me, now get this, church, represents someone who is not a mature Christian. I don't mean he hasn't been saved or she hasn't been saved for a long time. That's not what I mean. I mean that they're not mature in the sense they haven't grown into this. Can I say a Christian who is mature makes big things, potentially big things, into little things? I don't mean they glaze over sin. That's not a mature Christian. But I mean they take offenses, things that could be something or something I could pick up on with a partiality or judgmental type of thing, and they make that a small thing. But someone who is not growing and maturing as a Christian and not coming to maturity in this area takes something that is little, like a ring, and makes it a big thing. Takes a potential partial thing, and they pick up on things that are right, and they kind of blow that up into a thing that's not balanced or right. Illustration would be someone comes into our building or into our service, like we see here in James chapter 2, and you know, word gets around that maybe he's or she's some sort of status, like, you know, I don't know, position at work or whatever it might be. And that person may take, an immature Christian may take that aspect of it and expand their view of this person and be partial towards them because of that one little aspect of their life. Whereas a person who is mature and understanding, listen, God accepts everybody and they're all the same. Nobody has more favor with God. Takes that information and becomes small. It's not a big deal. It doesn't change their opinion of that person. It doesn't make them bigger or smaller. It's just they're a person needing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's kind of the idea that we're talking about here when it comes to being partial. And the immature, immature Christian is the person who's going to take those things and make them bigger and make their focus the outward and the temporary, when really we ought to be minimizing those things. Those things don't come into play when it comes to God's economy. And so the judgment is focused more on the course of this world, and it's outward, and it's kind of not a focus that's healthy, and we see that very clearly. And by the way, this is a natural tendency of man. It's a natural tendency to do that. Proverbs teaches us in chapter 14, verse 20, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich have many friends. That's what the world says. That's what the world does. It also says in chapter 19, verse 6, many will entreat the favor of a prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. I heard this. You heard that the Powerball lottery is, what, over $1 billion? Is that right? Someone said? Can you even fathom that? That just shows me how many people are paying money to the lottery. That's all it shows me. Someone said lottery is a tax on the ignorant. Pardon me for, I'm not trying to make anybody angry tonight, but it really is. So here's the point. Here's the Powerball tonight, and it's very big. Someone said, you know, if you happen to win the Powerball, by the way, the chances are like 5 billion or 5 million or something, or whatever it is. It's ridiculous. You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning 3 times in the same place than winning that lottery. Okay, so anyway, the point is, here's what we're talking about the man who has friends that gives gifts, okay? So someone said, if you win the lottery, you know, don't tell anybody. Call your family first and ask them for $100, all right? And see how many are going to help you, because they'll probably go running. But then you tell them, oh, I won the lottery, and see how many come running to you. Isn't that right? Now, I'll tell you right now, the lottery destroys people's lives, okay? I'm only using it for illustration here to show you that, you know, a friend is a friend when you have money. And that sometimes happens, and it's not the right kind of friend. But, you know, you lose that friend, you lose that money, and you lose your friend. The idea here is that people that are carnal, people that are natural, they don't know the Lord, that's the way they judge. They judge your value based on what you have and what you wear and what you drive and where you live and, you know, what you do. And all of those things value a person. But I've already preached many times in the past that our value doesn't come and our identity doesn't come from the things that I possess or the place that I live or the car that I drive, praise the Lord, or the job that I work or any person works. None of those things are my identity. And if they are your identity, you're way out of place. You're way off. And by the way, you're going to be disappointed because that's going to fail you. But our identity needs to be in the one who never changes, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's our true mentality, then nothing and nobody who comes to our place will change our opinion of them based on who they are, what they look like, or what they're wearing, or where they live. They all are even at the foot of the cross. And so this idea of those who have that kind of an outward look, sizing up people, deciding what they can offer me or what they can offer us as a church as something that I can ascribe to their value, something that is very carnal. It's an indicative of an immature person and a church, if that's the kind of thing. And that's what we find in the book of James is the problem here. But I'll tell you tonight, I want to just temper again what I just said before I go to my last point. And that is that politicking and posturing is different than discernment. Okay, so church, do we judge based on appearance or whatever it might be? No. But let me tell you today, tonight, the Bible does give us some discernment principles that we need to follow. Let me just give you these three real quick, and then we'll move ahead. Number one, we should respect or we should be partial on the basis of a couple things. Number one, I think the Bible teaches that we should be respecting or partial in the basis of someone's office. You know, I think there's something to be said about respecting the police officer, right? And there's something to be said about respecting the office of whatever it might be. So there is an element of giving some respect to an office, even though maybe, you know, we may not agree or there may be some things or whatever. And praise the Lord, in the church, there's ways to deal with all that. But still, there is that kind of respect and partiality in that sense to the office of whatever that might be. You've often heard it said, you know, I don't agree with the president, but, you know, I respect the office. And you know, that's very important. We pray and we treat that with respect, regardless of who's in there. And so that's very important. And then number two, I think we need to be partial on the basis of age. And you say, what? Well, the Bible teaches in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, it is important that we honor those who are elder. All right. And we are partial to them. That's why I think it's right when we have fellowships, the older folks go first. And, you know, we help the older folks and we give honor to them and respect them. And just simply the fact that they're older. Someone walks in that's older, you ought to be respectful to them. Even more so than another person who walks in that's younger than them. Now, we don't neglect anybody. But the point is that we respect the aged because the Bible teaches that clearly. And then lastly, we respect and give partiality based on character. Character. Now, let me just explain this, church, because if there is someone that's a known, you know, thief, I'm not going to give them that same trust or respect that I'm going to give someone who I trust and I respect, right? And the same is true with a known liar or whatever. We're not going to give the same respect or the same trust as we would someone who we know is of good character. Now, that's biblical discernment. And that's not what I'm talking about when we're talking about not being judgmental or partial. Because we've got to be wise in these things. And we've got to be wise when we're going about life. You know, things that are going to be true and right, we're going to give respect to and we're going to honor that. And so it's important that we understand that. There's other places, but the Bible teaches these kind of areas to be discerning and respecting on the basis of those. So I hope I've tempered that a little bit and you understand the balance there of respect and partiality. But then let me give you number three as we're finished tonight. I told you, first of all, the position of the Lord Jesus is preeminence. Number two, the politics of the body is this matter of looking at the outward and kind of seeing the posturing and putting ourselves in a place where, you know, we can have more favor or more privilege or more responsibility without it being granted duly. And notice, if you would, there, the last thing, the problem with all this. And I want you to notice in verse number 4, are you not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Now, the way that they word this, the scripture is worded here, James, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and then translated into our English language, needs to be clarified only in the sense that these judges of evil thoughts doesn't mean I'm judging evil thoughts. It means that I'm a judge with evil thoughts. It's like saying this is a carpet or a platform of carpet or a pulpit of wood. You're a judge of evil thoughts. You have this idea that you understand what you want or what's right or what's important, but really what you have is evil thoughts. That's what James is saying. And so there's a real problem with what we're talking about here, because when we're partial with people, that means we're partial in and of ourselves. You're already saying to yourself, I am discriminating. That means I'm one that is partial. We don't like to have that label as a person being partial, but that's exactly what the Bible says is happening. And so I want you to see there, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? And so the Bible's clear that there are a couple problems with this, and I'm going to finish this, Lord willing, next week. But let me give you these problems. Number one, the problem with partiality is that Christ is not partial. He's not partial. You know, number one, he was born as a lowly baby. in a lowly place with nothing. So how he's not partial to that. Number two, when he was going through his ministry, he wasn't partial to those people he went to. He went out of his way to go to some people that nobody would go to. But yet he went out of his way to go to the other side of the people that he wouldn't go to. He went to sinners on one hand, but he went to the highest place of the Pharisees and sat with them as well. All of these things Jesus went to. He wasn't partial. Number three, you'll notice that he sent us in an impartial manner to every creature, didn't he? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? So the idea there is that there's no wrong person that can walk into our building. There's no wrong person for me to give the tract to. We're not going to target a certain audience. You know, the books tell us today, all the church growth books, you know, look at your dynamic and your life stage and, you know, find that kind of dynamic there. And then you need to target that, you know, age group, and you're going to make that. So, you know, the Bible says we don't need to be partial to anybody. We're not going after one particular group of people. We're not going after one particular dynamic or social status. No, the Bible says we go to all people. And so Jesus wasn't partial. That's the problem with partiality. It gets away from his example. Number two, the problem is that if we're partial, then we're taking Christ's place, because Christ is the judgment seat. He is the one who makes the rules, right? He's the one who judges. And it's not up to me to decide who is better than someone else. That's God's decision. He must be the basis for all partiality. And if we're being partial in ourselves and evil thinking, we're not going to have that kind of partiality that God has, and we're going to take his place. But then lastly tonight, I'll just leave you this. I already mentioned this, but to be partial then, the problem number three is to be partial is to be a judge with evil thoughts. And notice, if you would, there, verse number four, are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? And tonight, it's simply revealing that when we are partial to others and we're giving respect and honor to someone because of who they are, and we're giving dishonor to someone because of who they are, what I think of them or what they've done, listen, we don't have the mind of Christ. We have evil thoughts. And I just want to encourage us tonight. This is James talking to the Hebrews that were kind of scattered around. But, you know, it really applies to all of us tonight. It really applies to our church, because we're all human. We all have a tendency to kind of look at things based on our value system. And I don't want that to be the characteristic of our church. Remember our illustration we started with? The men that were here all in a circle. And when we're inside, we're looking in and we're kind of picking and choosing and being partial. But when we're impartial, we've got our eyes on the Lord. We're turned outward. We're looking to the needs of those around us. And we've got a healthful spirit and a healthy direction when it comes to our church. And I'm encouraging us in this tonight. Let's have the right spirit. It's easy to kind of use this illustration and say, well, we're going to treat everybody that comes in the door the same way. That's great. That's the point. But how are we going to treat each other? And how are we going to treat those in the world and those that are growing? And all of it's everybody. If it's a principle for one, it's a principle for all. And may God help us to be impartial in our walk with the Lord and not have a church that's a politicking church. Let's leave that to the Republican Party and the Democratic Party and all the other parties. And let's let the Lord be the director, the preeminence here at our church. And let's let him draw whoever would come. Amen. And let's treat them as we would treat anybody else, and as we're to treat everybody else as the Lord would. Would you pray together with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the plainness of speech in James here, Lord, and how you've taught how we're to treat everyone like you have treated everyone. You welcome all. Lord, thank you for the